Sunlight flares over the blue haze of the Earth's atmosphere, and light bounces off the planet's surface as it rotates. A word wraps around it as fiery dots spread across the continents. Universal. Light slides along the letters as more words appear. A Comcast company. Rich blue ink fills in abstract lines on a textured white surface. Green pigment bleeds between the blue, and more colors and shapes appear. The blue forms letters that spell The Exchange, followed by a red period. Helicopters circle the Wilton Theater, where a line of people waits down the block. The view rises to the top of the building, where a glowing sign reads, Sugar Studios, L.A. Titles appear. Peacock Original. Fluke Studios presents an association with Sugar Studios. At night, text above a house reads, Compton, 1985. Several people hang out in front, and a 1960s car converted into a lowrider pulls up. A woman with locks waves to the driver as she walks by. An association with The Exchange. A view follows a little boy down a pathway alongside the house. He walks past people in the front, where a man lifts the lid off of a smoker. And an association with Renegade Entertainment. The boy walks by people hanging out in a dimly lit garage and finds a 1,000-piece puzzle. Later, he dumps out the pieces and smiles as he puts them together. As he assembles the puzzle of wild animals, he runs his fingers across a piece missing from a lion. The boy walks back across the bustling driveway to the garage, where he searches through a box on a stack of games. He bends forward to look on the floor. Back inside, he eyes the single missing piece in the puzzle, then looks up tensely.
Bosco, what are you doing, man?
A man with a shaved head holding a cigarette joins Bosco in a kitchen nook.
When you gonna grow up? Stop playing with all this baby shit.
It ain't baby shit. This is 1,000 pieces. It ain't easy.
The man roughly shoves Bosco's hand, which covers the missing piece.
Me 999.
Bosco's wide, melancholy eyes linger on the man before he drops his gaze.
Think he's smart. She don't know shit.
As the man takes a long drag on his cigarette, the boy looks up at him. The man exhales a thick cloud of smoke, then scoots around the corner of the nook to sit next to Bosco.
Why are you not outside playing with us?
I just like puzzles and animals more.
Some real animals. You don't know shit. She's a little mama's boy. Playing puzzles and video games all goddamn day.
He takes a sip of a drink, then taps his finger against the lion on the puzzle.
Real motherfucker now. That's me, motherfucker. You understand? A real lion out here in these streets running shit, getting money. See, I deal with little goofy-ass niggas like zebras. It's changing their stripes. They one way in your face, and then when you turn your back, they snitching and running to the pigs and putting your business out there. Jealousy, envy, real goofy-ass niggas.
He taps on Bosco's temple.
You better grow the fuck up, you understand?
He swipes the puzzle off the table.
Fuck the game.
Bosco stands.
Sit your ass down. Don't you fuck with me. Look at you crying like a little bitch, huh?
Siren lights shine through blinds covering a window.
Get back there. Get back there.
The man shoves a large brick of drugs into Bosco's backpack and gives it back to him.
Listen, I need you to go out this back door, go to your mama's house. You didn't see shit, you didn't hear shit, you understand? Go out the back door. Go now. Hurry up.
Now, Bosco runs hard down a dark street, wearing the backpack.
This is
Now a young man, Bosco flees between two vehicles. Titles appear, a Nicholas Manuel Pino film. Starring Aubrey Joseph, Nikki Blonsky, DC Young Flood. Young Bosco runs in slow motion. John Lewis. A group plays dice in front of the house. Brandon Rogers, Jim O'Hare. Adult Bosco dashes through narrow spaces with Theo Rossi and Thomas Jennings. Adult Bosco comes to an area with an abandoned SUV, a bike, and an RV featuring Tyrese Gibson and Vivica A. Fox. Bosco ducks around various obstacles. Director of photography, Michael Alden Lloyd. Produced by Quante Adams, Patrick McErlean, Daryl C. Scott, Justin Steele. At night, young Bosco races through the suburban neighborhood. Based on a true story and the memoir, Chasing Freedom, written by Quante Adams. In the junkyard, adult Bosco reaches a dead end. Written and directed by Nicholas Manuel Pino. The title appears over the puzzle with the missing piece, Bosco. Words appear above, based on a true story. Young Bosco flees in slow motion.
In that moment, I did anything I could to keep the lights on and food in my mom's fridge. Then I grew up.
Adult Bosco kicks open a gate.
I'm still running.
15 years later.
I just ran faster. They'd catch me, throw me in, and eventually have to let me out just to catch my stupid ass again. Got sick of the game, so I started letting myself out. Could almost taste freedom twice. The penal system hates looking like they can't do their job. That's why I'm here. Supermax.
A low view shows two pairs of feet, one in shackles, shuffling down a cinder block hallway.
Two men sell the same plan. One ends up with $1 million smile. The other gets 35. 35 years. For some fucking weed.
A guard escorts a handcuffed Bosco down the cell block, passing a custodial worker mopping blood out of a cell.
Where you from?
An inmate looks out of his cell.
Hey. We got some fresh fish, fellas. What you do? What you do?
Man, quiet your little ass down, rooster.
Man, fuck you, man. This is a free country, man.
The mustache guard unlocks a cell door and pushes Bosco inside.
Fuck you, son.
Bosco falls to the floor and scrambles back to his feet.
Hey! Open the fucking door! Open the door!
The guard grins at him from the other side.
Don't smile at me, you fucking pussy. Open the fucking door! Yeah, you're scared of me, ain't you? Huh? You don't know me!
The guard walks away.
None of you motherfuckers know me! None of you motherfuckers are here!
A vulnerable look flashes across Bosco's face as he surveys his cell, his gaze lingering briefly on an intercom-like device set into the wall. He looks up at a black dome security camera mounted on the ceiling. A red light flashing on it intermittently. Bosco's expression grows thoughtful, and he moves closer to the camera.
So you're just gonna watch me like some kind of fucking peeping Tom, huh? Like I'm a fucking animal.
Elsewhere, the security feed of Bosco's cell appears on a computer monitor.
I know your bitch ass hears me up there! Like I'm a fucking animal! Yeah! I'll be a fucking animal!
The man monitoring the feed runs his hand down the back of his sandy hair. Bosco jumps up and hits the dome, causing the video to turn staticky. The man mutes the feed, then reads a report on an escape attempt. In the muted feed, Bosco opens his mouth wide in a scream. Later, a view of the cell's steel mirror shows Bosco with his gaze downcast. He goes over to the intercom-like device.
You have a collect call from...
Lori, please don't hang up. Lori!
He leans his head on the wall.
Shit.
With his hands and feet still shackled, he sinks down onto the bed and knocks his head against the wall.
Why's your skinny ass, old man?
In the neighboring cell, a bald, muscular inmate stands by their shared wall.
The walls are thin as hell in here.
Why the fuck ain't you mad?
Because I don't give a fuck.
I don't either.
Yeah, if you did, you wouldn't be mad.
The bald inmate looks in an envelope.
How'd you guys end up here?
A transfer from Folsom, landed upstairs in a robbery commissary guard, and they sent my ass down here.
What'd you say?
Yeah, I didn't have no money on the books, so I grabbed a sprinkler blade and I reached through the slot and grabbed your duck by his tie.
Shit. Came down on you, huh?
Oh, fuck no, man. You brought me bags of calm. You don't want to tell anybody you got buffed by an inmate, right?
Why the fuck you get caught up, then?
Mother fucking snitch!
Yeah.
Got me 90, but I've been here for like, fuck. I've been here like a year, maybe two. Then some other shit, then they caught me messing with the phone. Hunt gave me 10 in the desert. That's some hard time.
The barred door to the cell block slides open to reveal a man in a dark uniform.
Boss man, yo, can you take the time off for good behavior?
Bro, I ain't been in shit for 10 months, bro. Great, come on, man.
The uniformed man stares at Rooster as the mustached guard peers into Bosco's cell.
Step back, 759.
Bosco remains planted right inside his door.
Step the fuck back, 759.
After looking him up and down, Bosco takes a few steps back and the guard unlocks the door. The guard, whose name tag reads Ramos, swings the door open and saunters into the cell. His superior, the sandy-haired man, stands in the doorway.
Why is he still in cuffs? Sorry about that. Adams, why don't you kneel down? We'll take him off.
Bosco shifts defiantly on his feet.
Now, how do you think we're going to remove them cuffs if he doesn't kneel down?
The superior taps his finger on his belt and shrugs his brow. Bosco turns to Ramos, who holds his gaze as he slowly kneels down. Ramos crouches down behind the inmate and unlocks the chain around Bosco's waist.
Place is a shithole. You want something to clean it up with? Sorry, I didn't catch that. Is that a no?
I do.
That's I do, sir, 759.
You can stand up now, Adam. Stand up.
Bosco stands to face the superior, whose name tag reads Captain Hunt.
You fucked up my camera. You know, this is just as much for your protection as it is for mine, son. You know why? Because it holds everybody accountable. Right, Ramos?
That's right.
Welcome to my jail, son. I got one objective here, and that is to keep everybody safe and contained. See, you let me control this situation, and we're all gonna get along just fine. And everybody's gonna survive it. That's all I want. But I got some news for you, and I want you to have this, I really do. But with your history and my camera, I don't want you to get any fun escape ideas like you did a few years ago. It's because you're not in county anymore. This is Max. And you're in here because they say you gotta pay. I'm in here to make sure you do. So let's go easy on each other. Huh? Because it weren't me. There'd be some other son of a bitch in my place. And if it weren't you in here, well, look around. Man, they built this place just for you.
Bosco stares back at him dully.
Fuck you. You look a little more intelligent than just a simple fuck you. But I hope you're smart enough to know that if you try anything, anything, there's only one way this ends. A bullet. Right there.
He taps Bosco's forehead.
So, congratulations, Adams.
He presses an envelope to Bosco's chest.
You are a father. Yeah, check it out.
Bosco looks in the white envelope, which contains a sonogram. His brow furrows as he stares at it.
Did you know the chances are that a kid without a dad is going to end up standing right where you are? That's a fact. You think about that long and hard. You're going to spend the rest of your life in here. You ain't never going to see that.
Hunt easily dodges Bosco's swing, and Ramos tases the inmate, who slumps against him. Ramos lets him drop face down to the floor. Cut to black. Now, a view looks down at Bosco, whose eyes open drowsily as he's dragged along the prison's concrete floor, his face battered as he spits up blood. Later, he lies still, staring straight up at a dark cell's high ceiling, the collar of his white undershirt stained with blood.
I'm killing you, motherfucker.
His unfocused gaze drifts to the side before his eyes drift closed. In a flashback, young Bosco enters a bedroom where a woman with her hair in curlers lies in bed. She glances back at Bosco, tears shining in her eyes. He perches on the edge of the bed.
You gonna get up today?
You know, you don't have to be like him, right?
But Mama.
No.
I want you to have choices he never had.
She angles her face back toward her son, then shakes her head.
I've made my choices, baby.
She rolls over and pushes herself up into a sitting position.
You can only protect yourself by your choices. You're too smart not to be.
He scoots closer, and she pulls him into an embrace, rubbing his back as he rests his head on her shoulder.
I love you.
I love you.
Bosco's young eyes stare off vulnerably. In the present, he wears a hardened expression as he sits in the dark, a shaft of light illuminating one half of his grim face. He runs his hands over his head anxiously. Now, Ramos escorts the shackled Bosco back to the cell block.
Oh! Shit, man! Boss didn't even hit you that hard! What, 2 weeks and you coming out looking like Nelson Mandela? Where your ass look stank?
Ramos unlocks the cell and pushes Bosco inside, streaks of blood staining the inmate's exhausted face. After the door shuts behind him, Bosco looks down at a folded change of clothes next to a tray of food and the white envelope on the bed. After glancing up at the camera, he shuffles toward the bed, picks up the blood-stained envelope, and peers inside, finding it empty.
Of course he took the one thing I wanted most.
Bosco chugs from a styrofoam drink cup. He tilts his head back as he drains the cup, then takes a seat on the bed, holding the envelope.
I never thought about being a father, but for 2 weeks in a hole, That's all I did. I couldn't wait to see that picture again. But I dreaded reading that letter from him.
Hands trembling, he looks up at the security camera, now enclosed with a protective wire cage. In his office, Hunt surveys Bosco on the monitor while holding the sonogram. Bosco lowers his glum gaze and returns the folded letter to its envelope.
Welcome back.
Hunt crosses his arms and leans back in his seat. Now, Ramos pushes a cart topped with items in plastic bags through the cell block.
For a runner like me, breakfast is always cold oatmeal seasoned with spit and pepper spray.
What's in, OG? I know you got the hot hot for me.
It says here you got two chicken ramen. That's what you get.
No, man. You gotta give me those hots, man. Give me those hots.
Lunch? Probably a cream bologna sandwich and an apple that's been kicked around for extra flavor.
759.
Bosco sits up.
You got no money on the books. Better luck next time.
And dinner. Dinner's the same as lunch. People tell us when to eat, shower, and shit. Choosing what we want to buy is our only taste of independence. That's why cars snitch and plot over commissary. That's why they kill over commissary. To avoid dying on a toilet from dysentery. Me? I ain't shit in 6 days.
Seated on the metal toilet in his cell, Bosco drops the envelope on the floor and reads the letter. Text appears. I'm 3 months along, due around Christmas. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I just thought you should know. Please don't call again. There's nothing to talk about. Lori. He folds the letter, then rubs his bowed head with his hands.
Show yourself, inmate.
He looks up at the ceiling.
If I don't see you, we're coming down there.
He eyes the camera.
I'm here. Your stomach's fucked up.
I need visual confirmation.
Blinking, he continues to stare upward as he swivels his head. As he thrusts his hand out, it appears within the frame of Hunt's monitor. Hunt leans forward, peering intently at the monitor.
Location confirmed, cell check suspended.
Hey, yo, Hunt. I'm gonna need some more TP down here, that all right?
Bosco holds a full roll of toilet paper.
If that would make you feel better.
Time to play the game?
Yes, sir, it would.
Time to play the game.
Hunt sips from his coffee mug. Back on his feet, Bosco scratches his head as he paces the floor of his cell. Monitoring the prisoner from his office, Hunt lifts his mug from his desk. He takes another sip before crossing the room. Seen through the cell door window, Bosco continues pacing, rubbing one hand with the other. He wanders into a corner, eyes fixed on the camera. He steps up onto the combo toilet sink, then thumps the ceiling with his fist. He eyes the camera, its light no longer flashing, and slowly moves into a sitting position on the toilet. As he sits with his knees jutting forward, the camera's red light returns. He regards the device, hands folded in his lap, then gets up and resumes pacing. Now, a tray with a sandwich, an apple, and a roll of toilet paper is slid through a door slot.
Finally. When all the cons eat, I can think.
Bosco sits in his cell, his back to a wall and his knees drawn up. He stares off meditatively for a time. Leaning his head back against the shared wall, he turns.
Yo, you hear that?
It's fucking summer already. It's about to be boiling up in this bitch.
You ever hear that before?
Heard all types of shit. So what?
The bald inmate in the neighboring cell sorts pills in compartments on a foiled tray. Bosco gets to his feet. Gazing off absently, he cracks a wry smile. He backs up toward the toilet, and eyes fixed on the ceiling, scoots onto the sink. He presses his ear to another wall.
Hearing such a sound in this cage was like seeing a rose sprout from concrete, man. To the bull, they were just sounds. But to me, they were sounds of sweet fucking freedom.
Outside, a flock of birds flies in slow motion in the cloudy, sun-drenched sky. Bosco and a young woman walk hand in hand, then embrace.
If freedom's a state of mind, I guess my dream should be enough.
Glimpses of flashbacks appear in quick succession.
We built this place just for you.
Bosco's mom serves her son chocolate milk.
Where's your father?
In a lot, Bosco stands across from his dad.
But dreams ain't freedom.
Ramos frisks Bosco, who lifts his arms.
Hey! There's only one way this ends.
With gunmen behind him, Bosco's dad lifts his arms.
You're exactly like him.
Hunt pokes Bosco's head, then Bosco rolls over on his bed.
I ain't content with dreaming.
Bosco brushes his teeth, then paces, punching his palm with his fist.
There's information everywhere. Judging from the click-clack of Hunt's hard bottoms, there's about 15 feet from the cell block exit to here. Coming in the first day, I saw about 60 cinder blocks leading up to an air vent at 8 inches each. That's about 40 feet up. Can't exactly just hop out. I use the buzzer with the 3 second. Make that a 5 second wait period is my early warning system. Counts come every 30. Only been about, 20? So, they'd probably come to shake someone down. Yeah.
Ramos taps on the window of Bosco's cell door.
Fuck. Check it.
Ramos stands in the doorway.
Entering your cell, 759. Sit.
Bosco shows his hands as he sits on the bed. A colleague follows Ramos inside.
Even with my special treatment, all lies on me. Even though Hunt's trying to get a gold star from the warden for keeping me in here.
You like to read, huh?
Humans are still the greatest weakness in any security system.
Ramos finds some stashed periodicals.
What is this?
Prisons aren't inescapable.
His colleague joins him.
It just meant to feel that way.
Bosco sneaks up on the colleague, grabs his stun gun, tases him, and shoves him aside. Bosco fires the stun gun into the air, then his image appears on the monitor in Hunt's office.
That ain't gonna work.
In reality, he remains seated.
I need a better plan.
Later, he does sit-ups on the floor beside his bed. A view glides past the cell window, now showing him shadow boxing. A view through the window shows him doing reverse push-ups with his palms pressed to the edge of his bed. Later still, he does a set of push-ups. Now he does burpees. Later, he wipes down his bare chest and arms with a towel. He tosses the towel on his pillow, then gathers up his blankets from the bed. He sits down on the toilet with a bundled blanket in his lap. With a wad of paper stuffed in one bloody nostril, he tugs a long white thread from the blanket.
Yo, Bull. I need a favor.
How long have you known me, man?
This is, it's an easy one. Need you to mail something for me.
You know my policy.
You can read it. Ain't nothing that's gonna get you caught up.
Man, I don't give a fuck about getting caught up. I just don't do favors for anyone.
What if I got you some commissary?
You ain't got shit on the books.
I will.
Well, if you pay me, it ain't a favor, right? How about $100?
What about some hot some coffee? What you think of that?
So now you're playing.
Bosco winds the thread up in his hands.
You got a tattoo gun yet?
Bull turns, his interest piqued.
We have a winner.
You give me a gun and some ink? I got you, whatever you need.
Bosco holds the thread up to the envelope.
Good, because I need another favor. Let me get another one of those girls' numbers.
Later.
You have a collect call from...
Quante.
Now, what girl is going to pay a dollar a minute to talk to you? You're in a box, bro.
Yeah, he's right. I need a direct line.
Bosco stands by the comm device. Attached to a string, a tied-off baggie is dragged back and forth along the floor of the cell block.
Truth is, it's hard to get shit in here. The desperation finds a way. Commissary charges 5 to 10 times what you could get it for on the outside, and credit with the bull is twice that. But if you want something that you can't buy from the prison pimps, drugs, weapons, info, shit, tools like the ones I need, you gotta go fishing.
Bosco sets various items on his sink, including batteries, a pencil, rubber bands, and wire.
Make it yourself.
He fashions a makeshift tool from his contraband items.
Every item I get, my bill goes up with the bull. So, gotta make it worth it. I always was good at puzzles.
Holding the tool to the exposed wires of the comm device, he punches the keypad. He quickly replaces the faceplate over the device as a man's feet head down the cell block in slow motion.
Have a collect call.
Bosco presses the key repeatedly, then punches in a number. A view of the ceiling shows the camera light off. Bosco places the tool to the wires. He puts the faceplate back.
No.
Rooster slaps the door of his cell. Bosco takes a look through his window.
Prison's a revolving door.
Hunt locks an inmate into a cell across the way.
Just my luck. A first time a fiend on a come down who can see my every move. Fuck. After the drugs wear off, combined with the lack of info about his case and just before he accepts the hopelessness of his future, he'll do anything to get out. Snitching included. Hunt knows that.
Bosco and the new arrival exchange a look through their cell windows. Then the newcomer steps away. Bosco gazes warily outside, then presses his hands to the device's faceplate. He places a call. He leans against the wall, his back to the door.
Yo, what is
it? Twink, you ugly-ass motherfucker, nigga. It's me.
Nigga, they let your old stinky ass out?
Oh, they ain't never let me out, nigga. You know that.
Shit, I'm out.
You ain't know.
What you mean? Nigga, it's another sunny day in Compton.
Man, no sunny days for the melanated.
Hey, man, you just pressed me with this fucking black power shit.
The sun is out. The hose is out. This shit is paradise.
What more could you want?
I need your help, actually.
I ain't got no money, Bosco.
Yeah, it's been fucking hustling. You still ain't got shit to your name.
Nigga, for somebody who need my help, you still acting like a hoe right now.
Twink sits on the front stoop of a house.
You got that last letter I sent you, right?
I know the game, bro. Nigga, I ain't sending no fucking blade in the book, man.
Shut up, nigga. Shit. Can you fucking chill out? Why is Kevin in? You know the fucking drill.
Bosco glances out his cell door window.
Shh. You fucking listen to me.
I got something for you if you do.
I'm listening. Remember my pops will start spot, right? There's still some product left. You can take whatever.
You want in there, it's fine with me. But the cash. The cash, partner, I need you to give all of it to Lori. All of it. Every cent. Every fucking cent. Got that?
Later, Twink passes a small white blade to a guy holding a book.
Next piece of the puzzle is something to cut through that ceiling with. Nah, I can't trust anybody inside to get it. Shit, a metal blade would be faster, but a ceramic blade would get through the detectors.
The other guy hides the blade in a book slipcover.
Even if Twin Cars and Perfectly Hunt's got such a hard on for me that anything with my name on it, he's gonna obsess over it.
The second guy closes the book, the title on the cover reading, Socioeconomics. In his cell, Bosco fashions a chess piece out of wadded up toilet paper.
Yo, you play chess?
The fuck I look like?
Seeing if you wanna learn.
I want some new ink.
Man, come on, man. I told you already. I got you, man. Working on it. Let me get another one of those numbers.
If you answer a question.
All right, maybe.
He and Bull lounge on their beds.
Well, I mean, I would never ask this if it didn't come up.
Nigga, say what you gotta say to me, man.
Well, the rumor around here is that you killed Tupac.
What the fuck did I do?
That's why you in here. Say you killed Tupac.
I ain't killed no fucking Tupac. What are you talking about, man?
All right, that's cool. I catch you.
No, I'm being straight up with you, man. My pops is a crip and all that. Yeah, but I ain't kill no fucking Tupac, man. I fuck with Tupac.
Well, I didn't rob that bank either, so.
Nigga, you robbed the bank?
Nope.
Bosco rubs his head.
Fuck, man, it's fucking hotter than a $2 pistol on this bitch, man. I can't do this shit, man. Can't be fucking talking all this dumb shit all day, man.
Dude, you know you fucking with my Zen, right?
It's fucking hot.
Bull picks up a folded newspaper.
Just chill out, man. Shit, fuck. You hold up. Check this out. Call this number. 27-year-old, attractive career woman looking for excitement and an honest man to take care of. It's 555-8634.
Bull flings the newspaper down onto his outstretched leg.
Where's that shit you owe me? I want some new ink.
Bosco turns away and eyes the three chess pieces. Nighttime, floodlights shine on an exterior wall. In a cell, Bosco leans toward the comm device.
Hello?
Hey. Hey, beautiful. Got your number from your ad.
Oh, hey there.
My name's, Quante. My friends call me Bosco.
Like the syrup? Are you,
Black?
Bull listens in behind his cell door.
Is that a problem for you?
I was just... No, sorry. I'm Tammy. Like Tammy Wynette. You know, Stand By Your Man.
That's that country singing bitch.
You have a roommate?
That's my neighbor.
35 years just for some grass?
Yeah, third strike. Yeah, there's tons of people in here for worse shit for less time. You know, it's just how it goes, though.
They can't do that.
Huh? They can, and they are. Yes.
I hope it wasn't rude to ask.
No, come on, it's... It actually helps. Oh, thank you.
I can't believe how unfair they're treating you just because, you know, it's a gosh darn shame if you ask me.
You got a dog?
It's my neighbor's dog. I want one, but my roommate won't let me. She's probably just hungry.
Aren't we all?
What do they feed you in there?
Let's just say I'd rather be eating that dog food right now.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good. Once I get some money on my books, I'll have enough to get some commissary. I'll be straight, you know, I'll be good.
I can give you some money.
Bosco gets up from his bed and stands close to the comm speaker. Bull gazes awkwardly from his window.
No, you So soon? No, that's you can't do that. That's for me. That's...
No, I would like to help you.
The cell block door opens as Hunt arrives with the commissary card.
Hey, let me call you right now.
Okay. I'll be here.
Oh, shit.
I didn't take you for a reader.
Hunt stops outside Rooster's cell and holds the socioeconomics book. As Bosco looks on ruefully, the captain passes Rooster the book through the door slot.
There ain't no pictures in here.
Hunt stands facing Bosco.
What are you building the house for?
When I get out.
You ain't getting out.
No, man, I could get parole or something like that. Right?
Hunt eyes him while flipping through another book.
You're right.
I'm gonna run this through the metal detector one more time.
Hunt eyes the new inmate.
I need my medication, please.
It's for your own good, son.
As Hunt steps away, the inmate slaps his window.
The more desperate, the more dangerous.
Please, please.
The walls are closing in on him and he's losing his shit without his meds.
Please.
I need that fucking saw before I lose mine. I mean, I hope Twin Sires didn't put the soul in the wrong book. They coming if he did.
In slow motion, jailers in riot gear head through the cell block as inmates shout from behind their cell doors. Scrawled in blood on a bearded prisoner's window, a message reads, "You're killing me."
Cell extractions are like a game. Some don't want to go to medical. Some don't want to go to court. Shit, some ill motherfuckers don't want to go home.
The jailers stop outside.
This concrete coffin becomes... And you're more at home here than back out to a world that's left you behind. With the people that left you behind in a society that gave up on you.
An officer opens the cell and another charges inside. A view shows the bearded inmate's feet as he's dragged off.
But that ain't me yet. I got a life outside that I gotta get to now.
They pass the newcomer cell.
But there's only so much time down here a man can take.
Dad, I need you to get me out. I'm not gonna survive this place. Please, no, please do not leave me here.
As Bosco looks on sympathetically, the newcomer meets his gaze before turning away.
Sometimes, all your hope rides on one call.
Over his shoulder, Bosco eyes the comm device, then gazes pensively out his window at the newcomer's cell.
If you don't get the response you want, it can break you.
Anxiously rubbing his face, he leans against the wall, then uses the touchpad.
Lori, please don't hang up. I should have listened to you. Look, listen to me. Listen to me.
Don't hang up. I know I fucked up. I shouldn't have gone.
Look, I just want to be there for my fucking kid.
Lori rests a hand on her pregnant belly.
But it wasn't my fault, Lori.
Bosco slumps his head onto his arm. Bright sunlight shines down on the prison yard.
Yep. It can break you.
Bosco paces in his cell, rubbing his hands together.
Oh, no.
He breaks into giddy laughter as he faces the mirror.
You know what, man? You're right. You're right. I'm gonna tell him I'm not going. I'm gonna tell him I'm not going. It's simple. You're right, baby. You're right. I'm gonna tell him I'm not going. I'm gonna tell him I'm not going.
Do you promise?
Swaying from side to side, he lifts his gaze with a solemn expression. His reflection shakes its head while he stays still. Bosco rubs his eyes. feverishly rubs his temples and head.
Hey, don't lose your shit. Don't lose your shit.
Don't lose your shit. Don't lose your shit.
He pounds on the
don't
mirror.
Don't lose your shit. Ah! Fuck!
Glimpses capture his maniacal expressions. Now he stares somberly, with tears staining his cheeks. Quavering unsteadily, he backs away across the room, his image blurring out. He gradually returns to focus as he approaches the mirror. Stepping away once more, he slaps a cinder block wall. Outside, puffy clouds hover over the prison. Ramos stops outside of Bosco's cell.
You got a visitor?
What you mean? Who?
Some lady.
Who?
Nice fucking secretary.
Hey, how's she look?
She not your type.
Shit, my type is any woman with a hand to grip a steering wheel and a foot to match the gas pedal.
Not for real, man. How she look, though?
Like Officer Smith without a mustache.
That gotta be a big girl right there.
I'm refusing a fucking visit.
No, no. Let's go.
Bosco meets Ramos's insistent gaze.
Let me just get like a couple seconds of privacy. I'll be right up.
I'm on my way out. It's gonna hurry up.
Yo, you spick bastard. When do I get my fucking combat, bitch?
You know your fucking role.
Later, Bosco shuffles through a visitation area featuring two rows of stools with clear partitions separating the inmates from their visitors. He takes a seat and lifts a telephone receiver. A view glides over to reveal a full-figured blonde woman seated on the other side.
Surprise.
She wears a plush pink coat over a dark top.
It sure is. Told you not to come.
I was worried about you. Are you mad?
Nah. It's a little surprise, you know?
A good surprise, right?
Yeah, good surprise. Glad you did.
You're more handsome than I imagined.
Thank you, shit. Thank you. You are too, gorgeous. Just like I imagined. Why don't you stand up and show me a little something, yeah?
Tammy sets her receiver down and gets up. Hands on hips, she twirls. As Bosco drinks her in, she sits back down.
You like what you see?
Mm-hmm. Look good. You don't have to go dressed up and shit for me.
Well, I'm on my way to a party, but I would dress any way you want me to.
You go to a lot of parties?
I have a lot of friends. I'm kind of a socialite, you know, fancy parties, but it's going to be boring.
Yeah, how can a party be boring?
Same people doing the same things, getting schnookered on the same champagne. I hate it.
Hey, come on, don't say that.
It's true. I wish you could come with me. It wouldn't be boring then.
I love that more than anything in the world right now.
Bosco's expression turns contemplative.
Wish I could just jump through the window, be with you. I mean,
if you jump, I'll catch you.
He nods, his eyes downcast. Back in his cell, he holds a document listing various items and makes check marks beside several.
Money on the books. Thank you, Tammy. I'll get the bull off my back, pay my debts, and have enough left to get what I need to get out. Shit, it's looking all right for me. It's looking all right for me.
As he places the list on the slot in his door, his image appears over the monitor in Hunt's office.
I see you got some money on the books there. What, you don't like my food?
Oh, no, you're
a regular Julia Childs.
I'm disappointed. I spent a lot of effort on that menu. I think you should be grateful.
Are you not grateful, Mr. Adams?
I think you should thank me. Don't you want to thank me? Well, if you don't feel grateful, what do you feel? You said...
You're angry. Or you just... hungry.
I don't feel shit anymore. Sir.
Bosco looks toward the camera. Nodding, Hunt leans back in his seat.
And there goes my commissary.
He crosses his arms at his chest. Head bowed, Bosco showers.
The only probe being deprived of all human contact is the private shower. Once a week, my little 3-minute cold shower and some sun are usually my only solace. But I can't get what Tammy said out of my mind. If I can trust her, she meant it. That's a big piece to my puzzle. Can't let anything shake my focus.
He pulls on a pair of pants.
Enjoying those snacks, Fonte?
You should really deliver them bags.
Wait, what? What should I do in my own jail?
He approaches Hunt.
I was telling you,
See, he's quick. But you don't think, man.
You know, that might actually be your main malfunction. Kind of typical. People like you. I'll bet you're a mama's boy. Aren't you? Most criminals are mama's boys.
Is that right?
You see, criminal will rape and kill and fuck shit up just for the fuck of it, right? But they still love their mamas because they lie to them. They tell them they're worth something. Well, we all know they ain't worth shit.
That makes sense. Must be a mama's boy. Right?
You see, they get dependent on those lies. But then the world shows them who they really are. And they get angry. Real angry. And you know what? That makes them, ironically, just like what they hate. Their fathers. I bet you're just like your father, aren't you?
Why do you think that?
Because he's a fucking criminal. Check. And he died in prison.
What did you say?
What did I say? What did I say? What, you... All that time on the telephone and nobody told you? Shit. I'm sorry, son. Yes, I regret to inform you. Your father's dead. Hey, don't shoot the messenger, pal. I'm just here to deliver the bad news, and it don't bring me any pleasure to do that, I promise you. But hey, you should be happy. Just think about how much better your kid's gonna be without you around. It's all his fucking fault, right? Yeah. And he's finally fucking gone. Why don't you pretend I'm him? Take a shot. Yeah, that's it. Take a shot. Take it. Come on. Take it. Take it! That's what we're here. Nobody else is around. Let it out, man. Come on.
No, no. You know what? You do what you need to do.
Mama, you want to take it?
Do what you need to do. Go on.
Yeah.
Hunt drops Bosco with a punch to the jaw. He wrings his hand.
Shit.
Is that all you got?
As he lifts his head, Hunt boots him in the face. The captain strides from the room, followed by his subordinate. In a flashback, Bosco's mom stirs a glass of chocolate milk for her son.
You thought I was going to keep my windows unlocked? I could have killed you creeping around my house like that. And where's your father at? You were supposed to be with him this weekend.
He sent me home.
Motherfucker couldn't even spend the weekend with his own son.
She joins him at the kitchen table.
Something else happened.
Nothing else happened, Mom.
I'm about to kick your butt out, too.
Mom.
You know what? Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. Come on, get up. Get up. Get up. I'm not going to be dragged into this again.
Mom, you're not. Can I just go to my room?
Only truth in our house.
Fine, I'll leave.
Well, you know where the door is. Lying is little kid shit, Bosco.
No, it ain't. Dad said I was a man.
What do you know about being a man? Believe me, I have tried. I have really tried. And now I have another lie in my damn house. You may have forgotten what he done to us, but I can't. I did what I had to do, but that's my past. And I thought it was yours, too.
It is.
Stay or leave. Stay. And I want the truth when you wake up.
His chin slumps to his chest. In the present, Hunt stands facing the barred door of the cell block as it slides open. Ramos arrives, marching Bosco to the door of his cell.
Hold up. Toss the cell. Toss the fucking cell.
Ramos slips inside.
Turn around.
Hunt turns to Bosco to face Rooster's cell.
Yo, 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 Bosco! I'll trade you this book for some chopped ramen.
Take one step back. You think reading's gonna save your ass? Give me that book.
Hunt steps away. He returns, book in hand.
Socioeconomics.
He thumbs through it.
You think, your salvation lies in some kind of leftist lie bullshit?
No, I do not, sir. I'm straight, Gene.
Mm-hmm.
He closes the book, turning it in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
All clear.
Ramos joins them outside the cell.
You think you won?
No, sir. Just want to keep my head down and do my time.
Bosco nods. Bull, the newcomer, and Rooster watch through the windows of their respective cells.
Will?
Hunt tosses the book into Bosco's.
Have at it. Inmate, sorry to hear about your father. If you think of anything I can do, you let me know.
Inside his cell, Bosco ducks and hurries away from his door.
34, 33, 32, 31.
He flips through the book.
28, 27, 26, 25.
He tears a glue-end page from the cover, revealing the blade, which he pockets.
18.
He gazes at the camera as he tears pages 15, from the book.
15.
He flushes them down the toilet.
11, 10.
He rips out more pages, 7, disposing of them in the same way.
5, 4.
Eyeing the camera, he shuts the book.
What?
He sinks onto his bed, then lifts the open book. In his office, Hunt takes a flask from a desk drawer. He opens it and pours some of the contents in his mug as he watches Bosco on the monitor. He takes a sip as he paces. Meanwhile, Bosco sets the book aside.
Why couldn't you curb that loudmouth fuck-up gin you got from that bastard? You could have just told him no. You could have stayed like Lori wanted. No. You should be happy, but now you're back in here giving a shit about someone who didn't give a fuck about you. Fucking pathetic.
Lying on his side, he gazes pensively. In a flashback, he sits beside his dad in a parked car.
So you doing shit now?
The car sits parked in a remote lot.
Surprised you showed up. They say you got soft.
Heard you got old, nigga. At least one of us is right.
Not too old to fuck you up.
His father gazes sternly.
Man, take me home, man. I don't need this shit.
You don't need it. Why are you here?
I'm only here because you kept asking me to do this fucking thing.
I don't need no favors, bro. 1,400 pounds. Give both of you some of that.
A white van pulls into the lot.
There they go.
Man, you said this shit was about to be a give and go. They like 2 hours now.
A sedan follows close behind.
They're here now, so it don't matter.
A guy steps away from the van.
Man, these niggas look like some fake-ass Nelly knockoffs.
He slaps hands with a guy who leans against the sedan.
On my cue, you take this bag and switch it out for the van keys.
Bosco's father sets a pistol on the car's console.
Let's hold it down.
He gets out from behind the wheel.
They're supposed to come in from the other way.
He strides away from the car. Bosco nervously rubs his face. His father glances back over his shoulder as he joins the two guys by the sedan, the pair clad in white t-shirts and baggy pants. He greets them with firm handshakes. Bosco watches them chatting. His dad shakes hands with one of the guys, then beckons Bosco. Bosco studies the gun on the console. In the present, he stirs on his bed. Across the hall, Hunt and Ramos restrain the newcomer.
Hey!
They pin him down on his bed.
Hey! Take him to safe!
Hunt manages to cuff him.
Take him to safe! Please, take him to safe, man! Get him his break for it! The kid needs his...
Junkies don't need more junk. This ain't fucking rehab, pal.
Please, please, take him to safe, man!
You got a problem with that, or should I tie you to the fucking bed, too?
Hunt leaves the prisoner with Ramos.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Shut up! Go ahead. Who the fuck would miss you?
Hunt storms off. A view frames part of a ceiling.
Now, I don't have many advantages from my position. But the one thing I do have is time.
Standing atop the toilet, Bosco scrapes at the ceiling with a ceramic blade. Later, he eyes a letter on his bed. Later still, the blade penetrates the ceiling as he saws through it. He does sit-ups and places a call-out. A hand slaps a control button, then footsteps proceed down the shadowy cell block.
I guess they want me on that rapping shit, but beware, I spit that shit that never got no cap in it.
A montage includes images of Bosco pacing and leaning on the wall near the comm device. A tied-off baggie on a long thread is pulled across the cell block floor. Bosco continues sawing at the ceiling. The footsteps traverse the cell block. Keeping away from the camera's lens, Bosco works on the ceiling, which now bears a cut about a foot long. He rubs a substance in the cut to disguise his handiwork.
Hallelujah. She just knocked her off and got her right on my medulla. I knew the nerds, knew the school shooters.
Bosco appears in two places at once, standing by the cell door and seated, gazing at the ceiling. He climbs up on the toilet while simultaneously using the bed to do reverse push-ups. He turns away from the comm device. While he continues to work on the ceiling, the other image jumps, now showing him seated on the foot of the bed. Now, he pushes up a triangular section of the ceiling and sets it aside. He considers the opening, then begins to boost himself inside. A view glides down from his FDOP shirt to the top of his white boxers, visible above the waistband of his baggy pants. His stocking feet lift off their perch on the sink above the toilet. Bosco squeezes through the narrow opening and finds himself in a darkened utility area. He sits with his back to a wall. His eyes dart warily. He checks over his shoulder. Facing forward once more, he cautiously gets to his feet.
What the fuck? Where's the lights? Where's the sound?
He creeps ahead, dim light bathing his features.
Man, I got 10 minutes before I have to get off the can to show my face for counting.
Fuck! Fuck!
They're coming for someone.
The door to the cell block slides open. Bosco lowers himself back into his cell and replaces the cut panel.
Shit.
Hunt stops outside the newcomer's cell and fumbles with his keys.
Hey, Hunt. What the fuck is going on, right?
Hunt opens the door, stopping short with a look of dread, while Bosco observes through his window.
What the fuck? Fucking God. Fuck!
A pool of blood rests beneath the bed of the inmate, who lies prone and motionless. Hunt enters.
Are you fucking kidding me? Fuck. Don't fucking tell me that kid is dead, Hunt.
Fuck, fuck.
Are you fucking kidding me, Hunt? Fuck!
Yo, what's going on over there?
I told you we needed fucking help!
Shut up!
No, fuck you! You piece of fucking shit!
Shut the fuck up!
You fucking did this!
Shut the fuck up!
Are you fucking enemy? You did this! It's your fucking fault! This is your
Hunt unshackles fault. The cuff from the prisoner's bloody wrist.
Fucking this shit! You fucking did this! You fucking know it!
Man, there's blood everywhere!
Bull turns away. Hunt wipes the handcuffs as Ramos arrives.
Are you fucking kidding me? Hey!
Get him out of here.
What happened?
Just get him out.
What happened?
Fuck does it look like?
You fucking asshole! Own up to your fucking shit!
Step back, Kevin!
Fuck you!
Step back, fuck back!
Fuck you!
We're laying that fresh fish down here!
How the fuck do you fucking live with yourself? How can you fucking live with yourself?
30 days in the desert.
Fuck!
Hunt points fuck. At Bosco.
Come here, you fucking bitch!
Ramos opens the door.
Get on your knees! Fuck you!
Bosco slugs him. Ramos jabs him in the gut, then bars his baton across his throat.
Get off! Get the fuck off me, bitch! Get off!
Ramos's gaze falls on the inmate's body across the way. Eyes shut, Bosco grips the jailer's baton, but Ramos maintains the chokehold. Cut to black. Now, a shaft of light spills into a dark cell where Bosco lies on the floor. He pulls himself into a seated position, hunched forward with his knees drawn up. He lifts his sorrowful gaze toward the light. Outside, faint light illuminates the prison yard. A view frames the quiet cell block. In the office, the monitor displays Bosco's empty cell. As Hunt sits absently drumming his fingers on the desk, Ramos stands nearby.
You got any plans for Christmas? You should join us.
Thanks.
He was a junkie.
Thank you.
Happens every day. Especially in here. He got what he deserved. I'm not going to say a word to anyone. You should just take whatever the warden gives you and get on with your life. Okay? You ain't an inmate in here.
Is that so?
Ramos awkwardly averts his gaze.
I'm gonna go do count.
Yeah, knock yourself out.
Ramos exits, leaving the captain staring at the monitor. While his regular cell stands vacant, Bosco sits in shadow in his dingy new quarters. He flashes back to sitting in his father's parked car. His dad beckons him. Bosco grabs the gun off the console. Outside, he shuts the trunk and steps away from the car, holding a black duffel bag. Joining the others, he drops the bag to the ground. His dad passes him a set of keys, and Bosco trudges toward the white van across the lot. In the front seat, he turns the key in the ignition. As law enforcement vehicles arrive on scene, Bosco's dad puts his hands behind his back. The drivers of the sedan and van aim pistols at Bosco. Bosco pounds the steering wheel as DEA agents train weapons on him.
What the fuck? Drop the weapon! Get the fuck on the ground!
He peeks from behind the van.
Let him go! I don't give a fuck who you are! Let him go! Uncuff him!
Kill!
Bosco stares pleadingly.
You gonna do this shit to me?
In the present, a view frames the shaft of light shining into Bosco's cell. His head sinks onto his narrow bed, while a few meager apples litter the floor. Now, Tammy faces a prison staffer at his desk.
No, you don't seem to understand. I demand to see him. I haven't heard from him in 3 weeks. He would have at least called.
I'm going to need you to calm down, man. I've seen it a million times. You're probably not the only one on the hook.
She blinks, taken aback. Later, she shuts the door of a pickup truck and rests her head on her hand. A Confederate flag ornament hangs from the rearview mirror. Now the truck sits parked in the overgrown yard of a trailer home. Inside, Tammy opens a shoebox filled with correspondence. She shuts the lid and drops it in a wastebasket. Now, as she cleans up empty beer cans near an overflowing ashtray, a gray-haired man grabs her by the wrist.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry. I could have sworn it was on silent.
He shoves her hand away and falls back asleep on a recliner. Back in his regular cell, Bosco leans on the wall near the comm device.
Tammy? It's me.
Rubbing one hand with the other, he licks his lips. He taps the wall with his fist and rubs his knuckles before placing a call. Tammy answers in a bedroom, its shelves lined with stuffed toys.
You disappear for a month and that's all you have to say? I went there.
You told me you had another girl visiting.
Come on, that's bullshit.
I thought you were different.
Okay, they put me in the shoe.
I had no way to tell you.
What happened?
He glances briefly at the door.
Look, I don't even want to talk about it.
Tammy shakes her head and flips her phone shut.
Fuck, man. Come on. Fuck.
Bosco presses the touchpad. He taps the wall again.
Come on.
Tammy answers.
Tammy? Please do not hang up on me.
Just listen.
Look, I'm so sorry. You're all I thought about. Every single day. I can only imagine how hard it's been for you, but you gotta think about how hard it was for me.
I missed you.
I missed you too.
But I couldn't. I can't. I mean, even though I want that more than anything in the world, I
can't change that. You were the first person I called.
There's no other girls, you promise?
Never.
Okay, there's no other girls. I promise.
I can't do this anymore. I love the way you make me feel, but...
Just listen, okay? Just listen to me.
I want to be there for you. I want to be that for you. I can. You just got to trust me. You hear me? You got to trust me.
Listen to me. Soon, I'll be holding you in my arms. And that's what we've been dreaming about all these months, right?
Will you catch me?
running the streets as we adapt to crime. Trap my body.
Now, as Bosco does sit-ups on the floor, Ramos checks in on him through the window. When you sleep, even the blind man can see. As soon as Ramos steps away, Bosco stops his exercising. Dig a tunnel like El Chapo. Yeah, they're trying to break me down. Trying to stop the wave. But they can't box. In the utility area above his cell, Bosco illuminates a small flashlight. No comprendes. I'd rather kill myself than Aaron Hernandez. He extinguishes it, throwing his surroundings into darkness. I gotta make it back to the fam. Montana. I'm thinking about a master plan. I gotta make it back to the fam. A distant view frames him in the shadowy labyrinth. I gotta make it back to the fam. He sweeps his gaze around, licking his lips. Make it back to the fam. He reaches up, his head nearly touching the low ceiling. I gotta make it back to the fam.
BDG, the way I'm hopping off Suburbans, I forgot I'm from the hood. Prices on my head, they trying to get me gone for good. But I'm still in the city, still lit, whipping foreign whips. Jacket overseas, Paris, France, just that foreign drip. Make a whole
A view glides seamlessly along the darkened space, showing Bosco from different angles as he scrutinizes his environment. Later, he crawls, carefully studying the floor.
I've been searching for days, man. Inch by inch. It's an endless maze of pitch black hope.
He arrives at an intersecting passage.
Hope that dwindles with every second I'm up here.
Back in his cell, he slips his foot into a loafer. He faces the window as Ramos turns to check in on him.
When you don't got it, freedom's addictive. I don't sleep. I'm either up there searching or down here planning my new life out there. With them.
The cell block door slides closed. Bosco stares out his window, shifting on his feet. Later, he pushes up the cutout section from the ceiling. Once more, he explores the utility area.
My patience is wearing thin. Weeks, no progress. It's still so far. Still so fucking far.
He feels a section of wall. Startling, he heads back the way he came. Now a montage shows prison staffers outfitting themselves with riot gear. A weapon slides into a hip holster, then an officer taps their riot shield. The view switches back and forth between the jailers marching down a corridor in slow motion and Bosco scrambling through the maze-like utility area. In his cell, Bosco slips his feet into his loafers and goes to the window. Rubbing his head, he watches the riot squad passing. In his cell, the bull lowers a tattoo gun and gets to his feet.
But I ain't going nowhere.
All right, Carnage! Bring it on, motherfuckers.
He squares up to his door as a smoke bomb gets tossed through the slot. As wispy smoke wafts up, he assumes a defensive stance. The door flies open, and Bull confronts the first officer who charges. He tosses the officer aside, then another, but a third pummels him with a baton. Two officers pin Bull against a wall covered in paper with tattoo designs. He resists their attempts to restrain him. In the scuffle, his artwork samples fall to the floor. Drops onto all fours, officers rain down blows on his tattoo-covered back with their batons. He rolls onto his side, writhing against the brutal onslaught. Affixed to the wall, a design inked on blood-spattered paper features an adult protectively cradling a child who sports angelic wings and a halo. All goes black. A view through a barbed wire fence frames the moon in the night sky.
A fucking revolving door.
Bosco lies awake, raggedly panting on his bed.
I know having Boo next to me was pure luck. Not being moved. More luck, my luck, never fucking last. I'm so fucking close. It's like the same nightmare over and over. They're gonna find that fucking hole. They're gonna find that fucking hole, and I'm gonna rot in here forgotten by everyone. Trying to come home to my 35-year-old kid who ain't gonna want nothing to do with me. What kind of fucking life is that?
He slips on something in the utility area, punching the ceiling in frustration. Craning his neck, he peers upward, his face bathed in faint light. He reaches toward a jagged hole in the ceiling just overhead. He feels around the opening, which starts to widen as the material crumbles. Bosco pops his head from the hole into an upper level. Eyes glazing over, he stares as if in a daze. He glances around, then his modest grin turns to an ear-to-ear smile as he chuckles to himself. Diffused sunlight shines through louvered blinds covering a window. Bosco crawls over. He peeks out through the slats at a dense grove of trees stretching across the horizon. His gaze falls on the perimeter fence of the prison yard, standing between himself and freedom.
A panoramic paradise. I've been in the tiny gray box 8 months. The colors sting my redness. The sunlight burns my eyes. What a beautiful burn.
He watches a truck driving off from a small parking lot. Then a flock of flying birds catches his eye.
People don't appreciate the freedom that floats on every breeze, as contained in every bird's chirp, the flap of their wings. I'm so close to not only freedom, but also to being a real father. It all rides on my next moves. But if I fuck up, they throwing away the key.
In his cell, Bosco sits on the floor holding a slip of paper. He claps his hands, then rubs them together. His gaze drifts up to the ceiling. He casts a quick glance toward the door. Ramos' face appears in the window. He taps on the glass.
Why are you up so late?
Oh, you know. Just, waiting to go home. You arrogant bastard.
Ramos steps away. Bosco retakes his place before the mirror. He bows his head, breaking into laughter. At night, he scopes out the prison yard from the blind-covered window.
All right, so at 1:45 a.m., right? Turn the lights off to keep the car running. You there? Look, I could get someone else to pick me up if you want. You trust me?
Over the office monitor, Ramos sees Bosco lying in bed. He picks up a coffee mug and tosses it away. He opens a desk drawer and rifles through it. He takes out the sonogram, gazing at it for a long moment. His eyes dart to the monitor, then he takes another look at the ultrasound image. Meanwhile, Tammy sits in her truck, parked in a small lot facing the prison yard. She drums her fingers anxiously on the steering wheel. She slips the flag ornament from her rearview mirror and sets it aside. In the prison, the cell block door slides open. A view from Bosco's vantage point shows Tammy's pickup and a small parking lot in the distance, parked near several other vehicles. Leaning back in her seat, she takes her hands from the wheel. She dips an applicator in a makeup bottle and puts on a coat of liquid lipstick as she eyes her reflection in the rear view. Elsewhere, Bosco tears some fabric apart. He ties two strips together, fashioning a makeshift rope. He fastens one end to a vertical pipe, then sets about cutting the end of a blind with his saw. He pops the slat loose, followed by another. In his cell, his blanket rests on the bed in a lumpy heap, resembling a covered sleeper. Ramos stops by the window. Meanwhile, the long rope of a tied fabric drops from the attic window. As Bosco begins to rappel down, Tammy watches. Seen from below, Bosco shimmies down the rope a little at a time. He inches his way downward with a hand-over-hand grip. Tammy locks the passenger door and rolls up the power window. Still far from the ground, Bosco loses his hold on the rope and plummets. Inside, Ramos opens the slot on Bosco's door and sets the sonogram down.
Hey, Adams. Hunt's not coming back. You might as well take this.
He looks over at the bed.
Adams.
Outside, a view glides downward to show Bosco writhing on his back atop the grass. Grimacing in agony, he rolls over onto his belly. Scooting onto his elbows, he drags himself over the lawn. He lurches to his feet, then hobbles over the grass on his way to the parking lot. As Tammy sits behind the wheel, Bosco staggers closer.
Adams, if you don't take it, it's going in the trash. Hey, 759, don't make me come in there.
As Ramos enters the cell, Bosco tries to open the truck's passenger door. As he taps the window, Tammy stares forward, avoiding his pleading eyes. As she turns to him, his blurred image comes into sharp focus. In the cell, Ramos slaps Bosco's bed.
Hey.
He pulls back the blanket to find an assortment of objects arrayed on the mattress. He pivots around, then gazes up toward the ceiling.
Oh, fuck.
He heads for the exit. A traveling view through a windshield frames a paved stretch of roadway as Tammy drives Bosco in her truck. The pickup stops for a double red light at an intersection. Bosco sits rigidly as distant flashing lights appear in the windshield.
All units, 10:34 in progress.
In a home's kitchen, Hunt listens over a police scanner.
Quante Adams. The suspect is a black male, roughly 6 feet tall, 170 pounds. He's believed to be accompanied by a white Caucasian female.
Fight for every fucking day you can, son.
He is presumed armed and dangerous.
Hunt downs a shot, then slides the glass away. He picks up a pair of handcuffs dangling from the table. He absently places one cuff over his wrist. He rests his face on his hands and trembles. Hunt powers off the scanner. Daytime, a view lingers on a motel guest room door. Inside, Bosco talks on the phone.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of the shower, a couple hours outside of Alton. You know, some spot called the Lion Tamer Motel.
What do you want me to do?
It's all over the news.
Ma.
Tammy smokes a cigarette.
I need a ride.
Pick you up. In Missouri.
And then what?
You just gonna run for the rest of your life? Go make them run for the rest of their lives, too?
All right.
Bosco.
Bosco lowers the phone, and Tammy stubs out her cigarette. Checking out the window, he catches her eye from across the room while she sits on a bed. In a flashback, Bosco's dad beckons him over. The young man stares conflictedly at the gun on the console, then the view switches to the present. Bosco slowly makes his way over to the bed.
yourself by your choices.
He recalls his mother admonishing him as a boy, then sits beside Tammy.
You know, you don't have to be like him, right?
Eyes averted from Tammy, Bosco shakes his head. He reaches over, resting a hand on her leg.
I'm not gonna let nothing happen to you, right? It's okay. You trust me?
As she looks him in the eye, he lifts his brow.
I trust you.
He faces away.
You don't have to split up.
I don't want to leave you. Can't we just stay here? Nobody will find us.
A black man and a missing white lady in a hotel. They're gonna find us. When they do.
His shoulders sag as he lets out a sigh.
Then I'll tell them the truth. I'll tell them the wrong.
These people, they don't see. They don't see me like you do.
Then what should I tell them?
Still got that letter that said I was getting up?
At my house.
I want you to tell the cops that you did pick me up because you knew I was getting released. And she dropped me off at, see if there's a phone book in there?
Tammy opens a nightstand drawer and passes Bosco a phone book. He flips through it, stopping at one page.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, tell him he was supposed to drop me at the, what Carlos is on Lynch Street in St. Louis. Okay? Make some U-turns, drive down some desert areas so you can see if you'd be a follow. Just please don't let me down.
I don't want to let you down, but I don't know if I could do this.
Bosco rests his hands on her shoulders.
You're an intelligent, beautiful young woman. You got this. Yeah?
He steers her across the room. Then she turns around.
Will I see you again?
Bosco takes a hard swallow, his thumb tenderly rubbing her shoulder.
One day you're gonna find somebody that sees you the way I see you. Genuine soul.
They face one another, Bosco's image reflected in a mirror. He gives her a peck on the forehead.
Take care of yourself, right?
I will.
She wipes away a tear as he opens the door for her. He watches her leave, then closes it. He touches the door for a moment before turning away. Squaring up to the mirror, he studies his reflection. He rubs his head and lowers his gaze. Cut to black. Now a view fades up on Tammy's pickup as it heads down a dirt road toward the trailer home.
Freedom. Chasing freedom.
Standing near another guy, the gray-haired man storms over.
Stupid bitch. That ever so elusive fucking freedom.
As they scuffle, Tammy shoves him to the grass.
What? He's not dangerous. Please don't hurt him.
My ancestors have come and gone with dreams of freedom only to never attain it.
Laurie lies on a hospital bed in labor.
Many never even knowing what it really means to be free.
Law enforcement gathers at the hotel.
Freedom from oppression, injustice, freedom from poverty, freedom from the prison walls and the invisible ones. So even if the jury acquits me, the judge releases me, or if I successfully escape, I still won't be truly free.
If you make the move to resist, eliminate the threat.
I will be wandering through life with shackles on my mind, being provoked and controlled by man, propaganda, and shallow desires.
While Bosco lies on the motel bed, his mother holds Lori's hand.
And just like the blind fool I used to be, just like the ancient slave singing, "We shall overcome," I would still be chasing freedom by standing still and thinking backwards.
As a TAC team member bursts open the guest room door, Lori sits up and lets out a wail. The officers take up positions in the room, rifles aimed.
And if I was who they wanted me to be, and ran, I'd be dead.
Bosco shuts his eyes just before he's yanked from the bed. Text appears 5 years later. Back in prison, Bosco wears an orange jumpsuit.
So after wasting my first 14 years destructively confined to the ghetto, 23 of the following 25 confined behind bars, chained and paralyzed, I've accepted the fact that I'm too intelligent, courageous, charismatic, and influential to be living my life chasing cars up the street like any old dog.
Across the glass partition in the visitation area, a little girl colors a picture while seated on Bosco's mother's lap.
Hey, baby. Say hi to your father.
Hi, Daddy.
The girl waves to Bosco. Watching her fondly while she returns to her coloring, he sets a hand on the glass.
I'm removing the restraints from my mind.
Seated in a cell, he writes in a notebook.
I found my meaning and purpose in life so Master can have his rusty, blood-stained shackles back. I'm taking over now.
His thoughts appear on the paper.
I might be caged, but I ain't running anymore.
Bosco turns to face us.
I'm finally free.
Cut to black. Text appears as the real-life Quante Bosco Adams walks through the open gate of a prison yard. In 2020, right before the filming of this movie, after serving 16 years for a marijuana crime, Quante Adams fired his attorney, argued his own case, and now walks freely among us. He spends his time helping his community and inmates with similar stories to his through his nonprofit, Chasing Freedom. But mostly spends his time with his daughter to ensure she has all the chances he never had. Footage shows his daughter smiling as she rests her head on her dad's shoulder. As he embraces her, the view cuts to black. Titles appear. Bosco. For a minute, now I'm back, everything attack that bag will show you where I'm at, nigga. Quante flashes a wide smile. Tried to play with him, I cannot forgive her that. Written and directed by Nicholas Manuel Pino. I won't give a damn. Director of Photography, Michael Alden Lloyd. Edited by Jillian L. Hutching, Sean Ludan. Unit Production Manager, Kenry Allen Hutchinson. Produced by Quante Adams, Patrick McErlean, Daryl C. Scott, Justin Steele. Executive Producer, Aubrey Joseph. Executive Producer, Gijo Reed. Executive Producers, David Ayer, Chris Long, Robert Bernard, Danny Goger. Executive Producers, Thomas Jane, Courtney Lauren Penn. Executive Producers, Theo Rossi, Nicholas Carmona. Executive Producers, John Lewis, Micah Molinari. Executive Producer, Brian O'Shea, Blair Ward, Nat McCormick, Danny Guzman. Co-Executive Producers, John Sarkeesian, Edison Sarkeesian. Co-Producers, Georgina Leahy, Amanda Conis. Associate Producers, Savannah Ray, Jaron Marquise, Luke Ashley. Score by Jamarcus Bridges. Day after day by the ones in blue. Post-production supervisor, Gijo Reed. Sweet land of liberty, but not for all. Credits roll. Land where my brothers die, mothers and children cry. Say black lives matter, but we know all lives matter. It's society that says the matter. When folks are startled in the street by seeing folks who look like me, we gotta change that mentality. That if you're different, you must be a threat to me. I just wanna be protected from those whose minds are infected with racism, prejudice, and hatred. Whose authority needs courageous? Tears of thee, sweet love.
where my brothers died. Mothers and children cry, a loved one gone.
Land of the free, home of the slaves. Free for who? My little bro in the cage. Free for who when ain't nobody paid? Free for who? They don't even get freedom in school. I seen a demon in blue. Hard to believe what I see on the news. Body camera one keeping the proof. Is that not the same thing as the news? When the bystander getting no camera, is that not the same thing as the truth? He protected if he wearing a badge. He could do whatever he wanna do. Still get to go home to his family. He's telling me he just need an excuse. He ain't even have a reason to shoot. He's telling me he just need an excuse. We got excuses. We ain't had no guidance. Ain't nobody leave no blueprint. They target us and profit when we lock the institutions. They maximize the time. We go to trial, they don't reduce it. I know about the solution.
Characters and events depicted in this motion picture are fictional. Any similarities to actual persons or animals, living or dead, are purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected by the copyright laws of the USA and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, copying, or use of all or part of the motion picture may result in civil liabilities and/or criminal prosecution in accordance with applicable law. Copyright 2023 Bosco LLC. All rights reserved. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by NBC Universal. Voice by John Bentley.